You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry. Yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many mother wanna tell me, but you know, never drown me in front of a dirty double mirror. They found me, and I love myself. The world is a ghetto. Having all kinds of fun. Got to keep the enthusiasm meter all dialed up here inside. The Dog Bowl and the Berea Browns are back on the practice field today. Great to have you along, Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford, Michael Reguy, Matt Wilhelm, and from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, as he does each and every Wednesday at this time, one of the very best in the business. Nothing gets by him, a fountain of Browns and NFL information. We say hello to Scott Petrak. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys?
We're terrific.
Doing well.
I know. Other than the win, which was excellent, how was the trip to Cincinnati? I know Paul Brown Stadium, one of your favorite stops around the NFL.
Yeah, I like it down there. No, it was a good trip. You know, makes for a couple long days driving back and forth and writing the whole time. But obviously, it was a good day.
Yeah, it was. All right, let's start with what Matt and I were just talking about because I want to get your thoughts on that. One of the questions we're asking all of our listeners today is to grade the job Mike Pettine has done through 9 football games. Some of the Coach of the Year conversation came up. He was asked about that today. I thought his answer was very diplomatic, as always. Scott, how has Mike Pettine handled this first opportunity and his first go-around as an NFL head coach?
I think he's been remarkable. And, you know, I've been saying it since pretty soon after he got hired. I just like the way he's handled everything. And it started with the coaching search, which wasn't smooth. He wasn't here long, and his bosses got fired. You know, we go to the combine. It's his first combine as a head coach, and the Jim Harbaugh stuff breaks, you know, that the Browns had been trying to trade for Jim Harbaugh. And I thought he handled every one of those things great. And then once he actually got a team around, I think it just carried over. You know, I think you could nitpick how he handled the quarterback thing in training camp. You know, I mean, I might have been inclined to give the job to Brian Hoyer sooner. I thought it was a little bit of a distraction, but obviously it didn't have an impact, and Hoyer's come through it okay. You know, and I think you can quibble with maybe some game day stuff, which I think you can do to any coach in the league, no matter how old they are, and you can especially do to a rookie coach. To me, he's done fantastic, and if you look at the two reasons this team is 6-3 and poised to make a playoff run is compared to all the other teams in the past, it's head coach and quarterback.
Yeah, great. So what grade would you associate with his job right now? I went A-/B+. Again, hanging on some of those decisions that he's made, you know, in game. But overall, I thought he was, by far and away, a great hire. And the culture changing here has been tremendous.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'd give him an A-. And even if we talk about the game day stuff, none of them jump out at me. Like, none of them stick with me where you go, okay, that cost him a game or cost him points. You can quibble with, is he too conservative at the end of halves? But he's willing to admit that that's why he makes those decisions. I'd give him a solid A-. And when you talk to a guy like Joe Thomas, who says the instant he met him, he said, you know what? This guy is a great communicator, and I can buy into him. When a guy like Joe Thomas says that, and I think he believes it, then I think that resonates, and it says, you know what? 53 guys in this locker room are saying, hey, we got the right guy for this job.
Sure, Scott, as we dive into the Houston Texans game and the task at hand right now, could you please give us and our listeners an update on some injuries? We've obviously got Jordan Cameron, Tashaun Gibson, Johnson Bademose struggling with concussion-like symptoms, Andrew Hawkins, Nick McDonald. I believe that you posted on Twitter, and we announced initially when Reg stepped on right at 2 o'clock that they were both in uniform and practicing. But give us an update and also, too, how it kind of projects towards the game on Sunday as well.
Sure. I think the good news is that Nick McDonald, the center, was out of practice when we were out there for the half hour. Looked okay. You know, I think he has his calf wrapped, but I would expect him to go, which is good because you don't want more transition on that offensive line, especially with J.J. Watt coming to town. Andrew Hawkins was out there running around, going through receiver drills. Mike Pettine thought he would have played last Sunday if the game were on Sunday, so I expect him to go. Now, the concussions, you know, you never know what concussions. You know, Mike Pettine said Jordan Cameron would be maybe to practice. He was not out there. You know, I think there's a chance he could go. He didn't want to rule out Tashaun Gibson, but the fact is he only entered the league protocol yesterday, so it'd be a quick turnaround for him to be able to go Sunday. So I'd say he's doubtful to play. I think I'd rule out Johnson Bademose. I haven't seen him around. And then the only other guy would be Phil Taylor, who was on the field yesterday but not today with that knee. He kind of tweaked it. He's probably questionable right now, but we'll see better tomorrow.
Sure, Scott. And based on your experience having covered the team so closely under this Mike Pettine era, Is it safe to say that if they miss today, which is obviously your big chunk day, and tomorrow, which is a big work day, but that overview day Friday, that if some of those players with injuries or concussion symptoms participate Friday, it's highly likely that we'll see them on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a case-to-case basis, but I think Tayshaun Gibson, who's been playing so well and will only have missed a couple practices, I think if he's cleared, he would play. And the concussion is weird because it's so sensitive, and it's one of those things you can't – it's tough to diagnose, or it's tough to tell when you're symptom-free. But if these guys get the green light, a Jordan Cameron or Tayshaun Gibson, I'd expect them to play. A guy like Cameron, I think, would be more limited. You know, they've had success running the ball with the two tight ends. Maybe just see him do some third down stuff. Gibson, I think, would be back to playing if he's ready to go. But, again, the concussion is out of their hands. You know, it's a medical thing. It's a league thing. If they're cleared, then they're going to play him. But it takes a while to get cleared these days.
It's just a matter of how much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Great to have Scotty Petrak with us. Check him out at Scott Petrak on Twitter. And also, of course, Elyria Chronicle Telegram, as he documents the Browns each and every day, as well as the whole NFL. All right, last season, the Cleveland Browns, Scotty, they would, carry the football five times, and then that's it, give up on it, and throw it 50 times if they had to, and it became just a complete one-sided disaster on the offensive side of the football. Anything but this year. The other night at Cincinnati, 75 snaps, 52 of them on the ground with the run game. Hoyer only throws it 23 times. So that's the identity. We know that, bottom line. And with that in mind, yesterday Ben Tate comes out and basically says, look, I want to carry the football more. I believe I'm the number one guy here, and that's what I was brought here to be. Mike Pettine said today he's a competitor. I expect him to want the ball, made off like no problem. How about you? Do you feel that Tate stepped out of the good feel area yesterday with regard to his comments?
Yeah, I think a little bit, but it's a tough situation because he got asked repeatedly about it, about his role, about is he happy here? Did you come here expecting to be the man? And he tried to walk the line of not crossing it and not being me first. But it was obvious that he's not satisfied with his role, and he admitted that. And it's obviously he's not happy with the three back rotation, and he was third in the carries in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So that's obvious. I don't know if he was blatant with his comments. You know, I think he tried to scale back. He said, you know, we're 6-3. That's all that people care about. I can't be the guy complaining when we're 6-3. So I think he tried to kind of balance it out. But the fact is, he's not happy. He came here thinking he'd be the guy. He wanted to get out of that Arian Foster shadow. He wanted to get 20 carries a game. And whether it was the knee injury earlier in the year, the emergence of the running backs, or, you know, he struggled after that Tennessee game and then that Pittsburgh game. He struggled with yards per carry. I mean, he had 0.3 a carry against, I think it was Tampa or Oakland. Now, you can't expect to get the ball over and over again when that's what's happening.
No.
So, I get what Mike Pettine's saying, and I think if they win and they're running the ball okay, then it all gets pushed to the side.
Yeah, and I heard some of this conversation yesterday, and now to be completely factual and on point here, it was about, well, Ben Tate had the big game against Tennessee, against Pittsburgh, 76 yards, only averaged 3 a carry, did score a couple of touchdowns. But I heard a conversation, well, he hasn't done anything since then. Well, nobody in the run games did anything since then in those three games. You know, Ben Tate wasn't the only guy averaging 2 a carry because Tate and Crowell were less than 2 a carry as well. It was just a poor performance in the run game as a whole in those three games, and we're talking about at Jacksonville, Oakland, and Tampa Bay. Now, it just wasn't Ben Tate. Nobody ran the football in those three.
No, that's exactly right. And I think Ben Tate's opinion, and he said that he doesn't feel he's any different. He doesn't feel he's a step slower. He thinks he's playing just as well as he did against Tennessee. I think he would argue that if he got 22 carries a game, his numbers would go up, and he'd be just as successful as Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell. Now, the coaching staff might argue with that. There are a couple of rookies who the staff obviously wants to see play. They think there's upside there. But I think Ben Tate has a point that if the Browns committed to making him the guy and giving him the carries, I'm not sure you'd see any difference in what the end production is. But having said that, he hasn't done enough to say give him 22 carries. You know, he's kind of been on the same level as the other two guys.
Last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the one thing that I just want to be clear, and this is, again, my perspective is, I don't believe this is anything personal to about Ben Tate, for one. Secondly, I do not think that by any means, when you're sitting at 6-3 with a potential playoff appearance at stake, it's not about the money. So what is happening in my eyes is, again, as you said, the staff has made it, you know, their vendetta to get their younger running backs opportunities. And I think what Ben Tate can control is also to his comments, which I think were quite kind of uncalled for, because this is a winning culture, and the last thing that you want to do is draw anything negative into that locker room just because of karma, and also to shine any negative light on something really, really good right now. So it only looks bad on him that we're talking about him in this way. But I think what I've heard week after week after week, as we've had conversations about who's going to get those reps behind Ben Tate, and Coach Pettine always says, well, Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell or whoever it might be behind Ben Tate was practicing at a high level. So in my eyes, again, based on his performance and everybody struggling, it's what happens today and what happens tomorrow and what happens Friday at practice will dictate the number of carries given to these running backs.
No, and Mike Pettine's been pretty consistent about that. I think it needs to be pointed out that Ben Tate has had some funky quotes since he got here.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's a guy that talked about how he's the only legitimate running back in that room. Or not, he didn't say legitimate.
Yeah, Tony Grossi talked about it. Yeah, Tony Grossi talked about it early, right when he signed here.
He
right.
said, "I'm not nobody in this room scares
exactly.
me.
That's what it was.
I'm the best running back in this room."
Yep. Right.
That's what he said during the preseason.
Yeah, so he's always been outspoken. I think he's just got a little different personality than some other guys in that locker room. But it's also, I mean, Browns are going to play 7 important games, and I think it's key to know that you have a veteran that you think you can rely on, that has done a pretty good job protecting that ball, and that if it's December in Carolina or in Baltimore, I think he's kind of a security blanket to say, you know what, we can go to this guy, and I think we can trust him to pick up the blitz and catch a ball in the backfield.
No doubt. And there's no question about that. And listen, the talents of the other two, I think we've seen them expressed. They're starting to come to the forefront. There's no doubt that both these young men can be quality NFL backs. I'll be very frank, though. I still am not 100% comfortable with either one of them with their ball security.
Sure.
Neither one of them. Ben Tate, I am. There's no question Ben Tate, as in Cincinnati, the 2 catches for 33 yards, catches the football out of the backfield far superior than the other two.
You're right. And I think for that reason, Scott, you brought up a great point. And just having been a part of some teams that have made a run into the playoffs and also have had to grind to get into the playoffs is it takes everybody.
Right.
It takes all 53,
not
just even the 45 at some point. Some people are going to be down because of injuries for a week or be even healthy scratches because you like a matchup with a different player better. And I think that brings up a great point is it's let's be content that we have the 3 right guys handling the football, you know, as the season goes forward. And we will build trust in the 2 younger guys knowing that we have Ben Tate. But I think all 3 of them at one point or another in the next 7 games and on hopefully into January will carry their own weight when it comes to the ground game.
Yeah, completely agreed. Scotty, want to swing over to the defensive side. I mean, this is becoming, and now you go into Sunday with possibly Tashaun Gibson down, but here's a defense that 17 takeaways, 13 picks, a +9 in turnovers, and this is after a slow start now. So defensively, do you feel that right now that this defense – is starting to each and every week crescendo to the point that if they have to tour in December, maybe even November, I mean, if they have to start to win lower scoring football games, do you feel real good that where they're at and where they need to go, that can be accomplished?
Well, I feel way better than I did a month ago. I mean, that's for sure. And I think it starts in the secondary. Joe Hayden is playing like a Pro Bowler again. You know, he had some hiccups early in the year. I think Buster, we've talked about, he fights as hard as anybody. He had a little rough game against Tampa. You know,
yes,
the big receivers got him, and he came back and he shut down Mohamed Sanu. And I thought that was a key.
That was our
game.
Key matchup.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job. The 2 picks were just, you know, cherries on top of the shutting down Sanu. You're getting great performance from Gibson. I think Dante's solid and is starting to make some plays that show up and kind of influence the games. And they're getting some pass rush. And they're getting Phil Taylor back and Ruben back. And I think all those things help. All those things, you know, are the reason they're getting better than they were. But the fact is, they're sixth in the league in scoring. You know, we can talk about all the yards they've given up, sixth in the league, and it starts in the red zone with a number two giving up touchdowns. So I really do, Rich. I think since that halftime of that Tennessee game, they gave up 28 in the first half.
Yeah.
Since then, something happened. I don't know if Jim O'Neill got kind of pared down that playbook and he went with the calls that they play better. Buster talked about that yesterday. But since then, you know, I think they played well every week, and I think it gives them a chance. And I know that Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill like going into November, mid-November, thinking, you know what, we're on the upswing here. We can win some games. And that's how they plan to win games this year, was defense and running the ball. And if they can have the running performance that they did in Cincinnati with the defense on the upswing, this team will be in a bunch of games.
Yes, they will. And the two things, and you already touched upon one of them, two things that I believe will make or break this football season, and we're only getting better in both of them at this point, is one is our red zone efficiency defensively, not allowing teams to score touchdowns. That, and you would think it might be red zone for offense as well, but it's not. It's our third down efficiency. We're keeping drives alive. We're keeping the defense on the sideline, and this is an opportunistic type of offense. We're able to run the football. We're able to run for first downs. We're able to throw for first downs. And also, too, as we've continually gotten better as the season has gone on, and we saw it last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, when we get to the red zone, we score touchdowns, and with goal to go, we were 3-for-3.
Well, and having raved about the defense, it's going to be key this week. They have to shut down Aaron Foster. The guy's got 10 touchdowns. He's averaging 5.1 a carry. They need to shut him down so they can go get Ryan Mallett, and I think they can get Ryan Mallett. He's not running out of that pocket. They can go get him.
But it starts
with shutting down Aaron Foster.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so with all of that in mind, Bill O'Brien trotting out Ryan Mallett for the first time, and you know, I almost chuckled when we heard about it. That all right, you know, Mallett's in now. It's like, wow, everything seems to be, you know, like okay. Now you gotta like that if you're a football team like the Browns, that won 3 in a row, got designs on winning the division, and now your next opponent's gonna make a quarterback change and go with the guy. But Scotty, do you feel good about the fact that O'Brien's gonna trot Mallett out, and the Browns just might be able to lick their chops and get a lot done in a win on Sunday?
I do. You know, I feel good that the Browns could come out with a win. I like the fact that it's Mallett. You know, I think there's areas of concern. Aaron Foster's an area.
Yeah.
They're coming off a bye, so you never know what a team's going to do off a bye. Maybe they switch something up. J.J. Watt has to scare everybody on that side of the ball.
I'm scared of J.J. Watt.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and he can change a game. I think the weather could be a factor. So I think you'll see a close game. And the key will be not letting J.J. Watt make a game-changing play.
Right.
Brian Hoyer continuing to protect the ball. And then you make Ryan Mallett make a mistake or two, and it comes down to a play in the fourth quarter, and the Browns pull it out.
There it is. Scott Petrak sounds like he's got another W for your Cleveland Browns. That would be, of course, to be 4 in a row and take this football team to 7-3. Scotty, just very much love all your thoughts. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey,
you're welcome anytime here in the Dog Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah. Scott Petrak, everybody. Check him out. Elyria Chronicle Telegram, of course, covering the Browns, and on Twitter at Scott Petrak, P-E-T-R-A-K. Reg Eye Wilhelm with you. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we get back, we've got this new feature coming up for you. I don't know. I'm going to ask Wilhelm if he can get into a 5-point stance. If there is. Our coordinating producer Jason Gibbs bringing out 5-point stances on us. We'll delve into it when we get back. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't move.